Arvo's on Double J.
It's slightly dangerous to have three such talented people in the same studio. You know, it's stars aligning. Some singularity could be occurring soon.
There's magic powers.
Three massive egos for one. So that's a recipe for disaster.
We can barely fit in this small, tiny booth with you, Kat.
I should, you know, apologise because I am going to refer to you as a supergroup.
Don't apologise.
All right. Okay, good. You're comfortable with that. Every supergroup needs a cool origin story, you know, being the superheroes that you are to us. What is the origin story of DSC, Dyson, Stringer, Chloe?
Well, the very, very early origin story is that I stalked Mia into being my friend. When I saw her play the Brunswick Music Festival many moons ago. Dice, when do you reckon it would have been?
Well, I reckon it would have been 2001.
2001.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I went along and I saw her playing and I was blown away. So I rang the box office of the Brunswick Music Festival and asked for her phone number, which they gave to me, a landline.
This is pre-social media stalking.
This is pre-mobile phones too.
Yeah, and creepy.
I rang Mia up. And we chatted for an hour. I was like, oh, hey, you know, I saw you at the Brunswick Music Festival. My name's Jen. I've just moved from Sydney and I'm really keen to play some music. And we talked about a few records. I think Lucinda Williams and Gillian Welch had dropped some, like, Essence and Time the Revelator that year, just some small, lightweight albums. And and that's kind of where we got started. I mean, many years later I joined you on your Parking Lots tour. But you knew about Liz before I did.
Yes, a music industry insider who shall remain nameless sent me a Liz Stringer CD and I was floored by a song. Oh, I can't remember the name of it now, but it was on a demo. And
must have made a particularly
It
big
did.
Impression.
It did. I actually pestered you to play it and you were like, no, that's in my back catalogue. That's old. That's nothing.
That's in my... I only had one album at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And I invited Liz on tour in the 2007 tour and fell in love with everything that she does. And then Jen was the one to suggest that we just try and join forces. And we loved already touring in each other's bands. We'd open for each other. We'd been, you know, players in each other's bands. And
played on each other's records as well over the years.
You know, we're real musical comrades through these years, really having people who really understand what it's like to tread this path has been wonderful. And our friendship has just deepened over the years. And we're so thrilled to get to finally make a record together.
You know, you're busy touring, but you're also all over the world as well. Have you thought about how this is going to continue into the future? I mean, how are new records going to manifest with Mia, you in LA, Liz in Toronto, and Jen representing
just
Australia here?
Melbourne. Just keeping the home front.
The fire's burning.
The fire's burning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think anything can work out if you want it to.
Yeah.
And I think we all really wanted to make a record. And
making it work, I think that's a phrase that all three of you are very familiar with, you know, given your careers have been very much about pushing your own barrow, you know, sometimes against oncoming traffic, uphill, you know.
Yeah.
And that's reflected in a lot of the themes and ideas that you're expressing very naturally on the songs on this record.
Mm. Yeah. I think that as you get older, And I mean, you know, Too Seriously is another song, you know, where we just say, you know, don't take it all too seriously because it comes and it goes, you know. Takes you high, takes you low. And but I think that is very much at the core of what we've learnt, you know. When you've had 15 or so years in an arts industry, you know, in a career in a country like Australia, which is small population-wise, remote as far as getting to other parts of the world, you do have to become quite adept at making things work with not a lot.
On the counter to that, being able to celebrate and really bask in glory together and not alone, there's something really special about that too, because as much as, you know, it can be an ego boost to be the one, the center stage person, it's also, even within the glory, it's a little lonely. So it's really special to be sharing that. And really, like, it feels like a celebration instead of a sort of solo party.
Yeah, no, that's true. Totally. That's true. It's an important observation, isn't it? Sharing that feeling just magnifies it, kind of keeps it sort of going outward a lot more. You're getting to share that feeling with one of your heroes on tour at the moment. We spoke about Jodie Phillis and your tribute to The Clouds and Falling Joys on Falling Clouds. A fantastic line that you wrote in that song as well, Jen. I believe it was from your pen. If you want to be remembered, you better have a dick. To quote a lyric in Falling Clouds. What was that like when that line came out of you?
Well, that line actually came out of me about 4 years ago now. So it was a song that I wrote with the potential of maybe going on my last album, but it just didn't quite come together in that session, and so I shelved it, you know, and forgot about it, and actually only remembered it very close to us going into the loft. I was like, oh, there's this other song, actually. Oh, what do you think of this? And Mia and Liz were like, oh, we like it. I think as well, like, that I would not pen that line today, knowing what I kind of know about my own journey with gender and understanding around genitalia, not defining gender.
Yeah.
But at the time when I wrote it, I think, you know, there was a level of ignorance. But I think the sentiment underneath the line is the truth. It's an observation. It's,
oh, totally.
It's certainly, I guess what I was kind of commenting on and name check Paul and Nick.
Yes.
I say nothing against Paul and Nick, who I genuinely love the songwriting of, but if you want to be remembered, then you better have a D. And I guess, you know, I was kind of looking around the Australian music landscape because my last album did look very deeply into what it's like to be an Australian musician. In fact, if you were going to say, what is that album about? It's about being an Australian musician. And I was just wondering where our female or gender non-conforming artist in their late 50s, 60s, 70s was, who's the poet laureate, you know, seen in the same light as Paul or Nick, and selling out the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl and headlining festivals and touring around the world to acclaim and being crowned, you know, the great songwriters of that generation. Like, where is that equivalent? And so that's kind of where that song came from.
Well, it's an important question.
Mm.
And we see that space is pretty glaringly empty in terms of who's on that.
Yeah, there's a stark absence. There are many great songwriters and many people that probably should be there. But it is an interesting question to ask, why aren't they? That's another half an hour conversation that we can have another time, Kaz.
Okay. Well, in the video for Falling Clouds, it seems like there's three obvious contenders for that spot, you know, who want to own the stage and, you know, with all of your rock glory going on. How much fun was it recording, filming that video for Falling Clouds, you know, embodying those classic rock icons?
I had a blast. I got to be David Bowie.
Aladdin Sane David Bowie? Yeah.
Yes. And I got to have my eyebrows basically removed, not actually removed, but covered up, and I had this, you know, wonderful androgynous look. I mean, it was just so fun. I love being able to be in character and not, I can sort of express myself in a way that I find difficult being myself.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Liz, you were a 70s Elton John, were you, with the glasses and everything?
That costume was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was full.
Mine was just out of control. It was like feathers on the like this huge polyester white suit and feathers on what are these?
Shoulders.
And and a hat. And you know the other really lovely thing about, I mean, it was by far the biggest video production I'd been part of. The crew was really big. I think there was, like, I don't know, 20 people in the crew. So it was, it was such a fun shoot.
I think that's what we were trying to do a lot with this album, was really have some fun and not have to go out and be Jen, Mia and Liz for everything, you know. Taking that pressure off, having fun with our photo shoots, having our coloured suits, like just lightening it up a bit so that it stayed interesting for us.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's very palpable, the fact that you're all enjoying yourself, you know, so much. And I do want to ask about those colours that you chose as well. Might I say I'm a little bit disappointed you haven't shown up in the suits, the coloured suits today. I wore mine, my stripy jacket. I thought we were going to get like a four-person lineup with the colours. I'm sorely disappointed.
We just wore them for two gigs. So we felt it less rude to turn up not in them. That was a double negative, sorry. But
Now, yeah. There was purpose behind the choice of the colours, wasn't there?
There was. I'm a fan of the tarot.
And, are you now?
I love a tarot card. The Suits is actually a card that I have from my pack, from the Three of Cups, which is three women wearing primary colours, green, blue and red, with their cups raised to the sky. And when you read the card, it says, you know, basically coming together in a joyous celebration. Mm. And that's kind of, I think, where we really took the spirit of this collaboration is to make it as joyful and fun.
And you drew that card twice, and then I drew that card, and that sealed the deal.
Sealed the deal.
Oh. Yeah.
What, just out of the pack, you just pull?
Yeah, and the odds of pulling the same card out of a pack of 78 or 72, I can't remember, is my friend did some math on it. It was like 1 in 335,000 or something. You know, like.
And then Mia drawing it as well. That's even raised the odds then too.
Yeah, exactly. That's when I think you said, okay. Because Jen wasn't even keen on wearing the blue, but she was like, the tarot tells us we have to.
We don't do anything unless the tarot tells us now.
Music makes you.
The journey that they take you on is so transformative. You're totally awakening, you know, experiencing the physicality of live music, how you feel it, you see it happening, and then you're involved.
Double J.